with a high temperature of 81 degrees, a low temperature of 69 degrees.
Hey, honey, this paint party is a great idea.
Yeah. Hey, how about a coffee break?
Your coffee? Better wait till they finish, hon. We don't want to lose them now.
Tom. What you doing? I see everything's going just great. Everything but my coffee.
Mrs. Olson, how do you make good coffee?
There are no shortcuts, so I use Folgers.
Why?
Different coffees taste different, and I think Folgers tastes best.
Really?
It's specially blended.
Folgers? I thought I'd tried everything. What's mountain grown?
Oh, the richest coffee there is. Try some.
Okay.
Hey, smells good. Your coffee?
Yep. How's it taste?
Great. Hey, everybody! Coffee break!
Get Folgers, mountain-grown coffee. You'll like the flavor.
And you'll like this show even better. It's Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam on a Tuesday morning. Yes, Adam, that is I, also known as Adam the Computer Guy. But we have a slightly different twist on broadcasting for this hour. During the previous show, we talked about computers, technology, medical technology, smartphones, phones that aren't quite so smart, etc., etc. And during this show, we talk about, as I say, anything and everything. Even controversial topics are fine. Yes, yeah, school prayer, abortion, minority rights, pollution, the president, Donald Trump, previous presidents, future presidents, sports, almost anything else. Love to hear from you. 740-383-9944. We can debate. We can take a look at opinions, analyses, what have you. We call it Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam. So grab your favorite hot or cold or lukewarm beverage. Sit back and relax. During this hour, we'll be having some fun here in the studio at WWGH Radio, the talking place. 107.1 on your FM dial in Marion, and of course, broadcasting online at WWGH1071.com.
Chocolate nuts in that heavenly coffee,
New York City's estimated 2 million rats have a notorious reputation as disease-spreading, house-destroying, fire-starting vermin. But despite their ubiquity and the risks that they pose to humans, very little is actually known about the rodents and their behavior, according to a study published earlier this week. Eager to learn more, the research team has offered $1,000 to study rat-plagued homes and businesses in the city. American and Australian researchers conducted the study, published in the Journal of Urban Ecology, which found that urban rats are the, quote, least studied wildlife in city environments, despite being among the, quote, most important of all urban animals. They are the bane of urban environments, associated with poverty, disease, and fines by public health authorities. And that came from a co-author of the study, Jason Munchie South. Yet despite their bad reputation, scientists said the ecology of city rats is not well understood, with, quote, insufficient research on the animal. Part of the problem is that people see rats as the, quote, pariahs of the animal kingdom, linked with disease, as well as poverty and fear. Now, because of this, home and business owners plagued with rats are reluctant to tell anyone or to share their residences with researchers. Again, that comes from Jason Munshie South, the co-author of this study. He's an associate professor of biology at Fordham University in the Bronx, which is, of course, part of New York City. Now, lead author of the study was Michael Parsons. He warned that city dwellers cannot afford to indulge their ignorance about their rat neighbors any longer. As city populations continue to balloon worldwide, rodent-related risks and diseases are anticipated to go up in the coming decades. He said, "We neglect to study them at our own peril. No war has ever decimated one-third of the human population, but rats have." In an effort to bridge this critical knowledge gap, the researchers have urged others to start conducting robust studies into city rat behavior and movement patterns. Now, to gain access to rat-infected homes and businesses, these scientists recommended incentivizing property owners so they are more willing to open their properties for study. For example, local authorities could provide discounts for pet extermination services in return for access. These researchers added that they have seen firsthand how effective such incentives can be. In their own research, the team offered free and confidential extermination services to, quote, willing residences that permitted their rats to be studied before the critters were exterminated. To continue his research into New York City's rats, they're adopting a $1,000 reward for access to a viable rat-infested location in Manhattan. So, if you're in New York City and have rats, you can get $1,000 to have researchers study those animals. As I said, we cover quirky news here on Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam on The Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial, and of course, broadcasting online by, as I say, the power and magic of the internet at WWGH 107.1.com. Hoping to have my, as I call him, brother in broadcasting, Mr. Nick C.J., on the line with me to talk many interesting topics, as we normally do when he is part of the show. He is, of course, in Brecon in Eastern Wales in the United Kingdom. However, I'm having some technical issues connecting with him through the usual way. Let me see if I can get him on the line, and if I can't, we're going to try a different way to connect. In the meantime, I'd like to remind you that you are listening to a new and temporary show here on The Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial, and again, broadcasting online by the power and magic of the internet at WWGH 107.1.com. I will have Nick on the line shortly using a different connection method than I normally have. So here in the radio business, you have to improvise. If something doesn't work one way, you try something else. That's part of the fun of the business that we call broadcasting. So by the ingenuity of connecting one cable to one receptacle, turning up the right knob, and crossing my fingers, let me see if Nick is on the line. Nick, are you there?
I am. I was going to hold my breath then and pretend I wasn't, just to see what happened, but I am here.
That's okay. I could always tell some more stupid jokes or something. I had to change the way that I connect to you, but that's okay. Improvising is part of broadcasting, and it's actually part of the fun.
Yep, the Skype, well, that's a good example. Skype's locked me out on my tablet, and that's the way I normally connect to you. So it was going to take me about 10 minutes to change my password, so I thought we'd try Messenger.
Yep.
So, yeah.
I'm not one to be shy away from being innovative, and sure enough, that's what I have accomplished. So here in the States, at least here in mid-Ohio, it's a little cooler than it's been. It was about 10 or 12 degrees Celsius around sunrise, but it's warming up currently, which is okay because it was quite toasty last week.
It's about 20 here, so still quite toasty, but apparently we're going to have downpours tomorrow.
Well, that's okay. Did you hear the story, Nick, about the rat rewards, where people in New York City can get $1,000 to have researchers study their rats?
No, I haven't heard that one. No. How do they study them?
Well, they are professors at Fordham University in the Bronx who'd like access to a home or business in Manhattan that has a rat problem so that they can take a look at the critters and see exactly how they can be eradicated and controlled, as they do cause damage, etc., and some other unpleasant side effects.
Well, they do say that you're only 6 foot from a rat if you're in London, apparently.
Well, that's interesting. So rats are a pretty big problem there in England and the UK?
Yeah, you don't see them running around, but apparently mainly in the sort of Victorian sewers that are living under the city. You know, they're sort of, they're there. And I did see a friend of mine had his, don't know if you use decking like we do here, just wooden decking. He had it taken up, and it was alive underneath. Apparently, that's the biggest place they like to live, under nice warm decking with the special black tarpaulin that they put underneath, you know, to stop the weeds coming through.
Rats are actually quite intelligent, and they make good pets, but they are not exactly sanitary, so most people do not have a favorable opinion of rats.
Oh, I like pet rats. My daughter had a pet rat for quite a few years. So even my wife used to, you know, the neighbors used to have to come and look after it if we went on holiday, which used to be quite funny.
So they were rat sitting.
Yeah, they were rat sitting. They were all quite scared to start with, but they'd get used to it, and very intelligent. Very intelligent.
Yeah, probably not smarter than a lot of people that I know, yeah.
Yeah. Didn't get any of them to learn any programming or build websites, but very intelligent otherwise.
Well, that's very interesting and not overly surprising. So you and I, Nick, are in the middle of a website project for one of your very longtime clients in Wales. Essentially a gallery of, there's got to be, literally, I'm not exaggerating, 10,000 photographs dating from last 10 or 15 years. And the gallery program that we've used has been what I call deprecated. It's no longer available. It doesn't work securely on existing servers, so we have to migrate it to probably some plugin in WordPress.
Yeah.
And as we know, most websites are now done in WordPress or something similar, and it allows for a responsive design where it looks good no matter if you're on a tablet or phone or a 21-inch monitor. And websites that were programmed with some older software, maybe using a really cool slideshow or e-commerce plugin, they stop working effectively because you can't get updates for them. And you can't really attach that plugin to a new WordPress site.
Yeah.
But would you agree with me that once we finish this project, the site will actually work better than it had before? Plus, we can update the pictures, update the descriptions, probably a little bit easier than we could in the past, because the program that we're going to use is easier to work with.
Yeah, I mean, the program that we had, it's probably the first edition was something like 10 years ago. And then 5 years ago, they made an upgrade to it and called it Gallery 2. And then they decided that they'd retire it. Very like Microsoft and all the other software people who decide that Windows XP is the best operating system you can get, and then Windows Vista is, and then Windows 7, and then so whichever is the new one is the best one, of course, but usually they end up retiring them or changing them, and these people actually decided to completely retire it, as you know, and left us high and dry, basically.
Of course, 5 years in computer years, that's like 60 people years. So if something has been retired for that long and you try to do an update or move it to a new site, that's when the problems can occur.
Yeah, most definitely. There's, Moore's Law. I bet all your listeners know about Moore's Law, do they?
Why don't you share that with us?
Moore's Law is every 18 months, all processors and speeds will double, and the size will halve. That's the logic, apparently, okay, of Moore's Law.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of the name, but yeah, that definitely were. Yeah, 18 months to a year, to 2 years, the computers double in speed. It's really quite amazing how much processing power you can put in a tiny little package.
Yeah, well, all of that, when I started in computers, in smartphones, basically, people started saying, you know, the smartphone you've got is as big as the one that NASA, put men on the moon with. You start to realize how much Moore's Law has worked. It's that sort of exponential multiplication like you get when you put one grain of rice on the first square of a chessboard.
You are listening to Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam, a new and temporary show here on The Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 FM, and of course broadcasting online at WWGH1071.com. As we often are, I'm joined by the power and magic and sometimes miraculous nature of the internet with my brother in broadcasting, longtime friend and business associate, Nick C.J. from Eastern Wales in the United Kingdom. He wasn't able to join us last hour, so we're talking a little bit about computers, but don't let that sway you. This show is about anything and everything, even controversial topics are fine. Feel free to join the conversation. Our phone line is open, 740-383-9944. Nick, myself, or both of us would love to hear from you. So, any interesting news stories to share with us today, Nick?
We've got the one that's a little bit depressing about our big tower block fire that we had last week, which they've just started taking off. What happened was, to make our tower blocks, our sort of ghetto blocks, look a bit smarter, some years ago they clad them all with insulation and then put timber battens on them and then screwed very fancy looking aluminium panels to them. So they looked very, very smart, and they were all done in sort of pastel colours, and so they looked very trendy and smart. It's now just come to light that the aluminium panels they put on are not just a sheet of aluminium like you have, say, on a trailer or something like that. It's a thin piece of aluminium, then a thin piece of plastic, and then another piece of aluminium. So it's a laminate. And they are highly flammable. So suddenly this tower block burnt down and 79 people died in it. So all of the councils all over the country are having to race and put scaffolding up and take all the panelling off all of the tower blocks. So suddenly we have a lot of very ugly bare tower blocks and a lot of very disgruntled people who live in them that have had to be moved out and put in hotels. So that's the big sort of the big problem at the moment in the UK.
On a lighter note, Nick, I thought you might find this interesting. A craft brewer in Toronto, Canada, to our north. They're called Northern Maverick. They have created fake news ale to offer a respite from the bleak political developments of late. Now, fake news ale is described as an easy drinking beer that is perfect for long discussions over world events with friends and pairs well with small hands, striking comb overs, huge egos, and all things Mexican. So do you think that the President Donald would enjoy that that brew?
I think that sounds like his type of brew. Very good. Very good.
They are donating 5% of every can of fake news ale sold to help reverse a questionable policy. They will invite potential buyers to nominate and vote for which cause will receive the charitable donation on their website in the coming weeks. You can get the beer at the Bathurst Brewery Restaurant, their on-site beer shop, and through direct delivery in Ontario, Canada. So a company that has been innovative and is making some money and donating to a good cause. In light of the interesting political climate here in the colonies, as we call it.
Very, very, very good marketing, I would say.
And I have Nick from the eastern part of Wales in the United Kingdom on the line with me. He is a regular participant in this show, which we call Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam. Of course, that's me, Adam Lepp, also known as Adam the Computer Guy. But on this show, we talk about a topic of your choice. Feel free to give us a call live in our studio, 740-383-9944. Anything else to share with us, Nick? You're rarely at a loss for quirky news items.
Yeah, we've not had that much quirk. We did we did have a very good sketch show this week, which was about our elections and everything else, and they had the most amazing sketch about Trump on it. And then the Melania bot. The sketch was about the fact that Melania was a robot, and this is their claim, and that she'd been misprogrammed because she was supposed to like Donald, and she kept pushing his hand away, and so obviously there was a glitch in the software, and so they'd had to have her in a little bit like a Westworld type android, and so they'd had to have her in to reprogram her because she kept pushing Donald's hand away at various times, the Donald, and so that was exceptionally funny.
So could it be those tiny hands he has are just too small for her? Because she's kind of tall anyway.
Yeah, it was the basic premise was that it was creeping her out a little bit. So it was exceptionally funny. You had to see it to get it, though. I'm trying to think of anything else funny that we've had over here. No, I mean, all of our news is bad. All of our politics is bad. We've just had the election, and our prime minister that has got back in, but she didn't have what they call a majority. So she's gone to a party in Northern Ireland called the DUP, which is the Democratic Unionist Party. And they have, in essence, given them a grant stroke funding for £1.5 billion. So I suppose that's about $2 billion, is it? And on the basis that they will vote the way that they want them. So, of course, everybody is now calling that on the news. They're using the word they've been given a bung, which is our word for a bribe, basically. So it is quite frightening the way politics is going over here.
I guess sometimes looking at some lighter news stories will lessen the impact of some of the current news items, and no other way to say it, a lot of the news we talk about isn't very good, and that's unfortunate. Spring, early summer should be a happy time, and sometimes...
It should be, yeah.
Unfortunately.
It should be. I'll have a look for some British funnies.
In the meantime, let's go to Oregon, which is a western state here in the United States. Somebody should get this police dog a victory bone. There's a 9-year-old Dutch shepherd named Spencer. He pulled off an accomplishment of very high merit when he helped the Oregon's Clackamas County Sheriff's Office locate 3 suspects in 90 minutes. Sergeant Boone, a canine handler for approximately 20 years, said, "It's a rare feat for a sheriff's office canine to get that number of captures in such a short time frame." So, we have a police dog with 3 captures in the course of 90 minutes. What do you think about that, Nick?
That is quite amazing, yeah.
Do they use police dogs there in the UK? They're pretty popular here in the States.
Yes, yeah, and they're trained to bring people down. You know, they have that thing where the man, when they train them, the man has the big padded arm and has to run away and then be chased by the dog, and they're taught to bring you down with one arm.
If this experiment is any indication, your neighborhood bartender is probably better at making drinks than guessing how old you are. That's kind of a problem because I look less than I am. I mean, I certainly don't look like I'm 20 years old, but I guess if a bartender forgets his or her glasses, you never know. They did a little experiment. Bartenders with between 3 weeks and 40 years of experience attempted to determine whether people are underage. They checked out 10 participants in the stunt. One bartender said, "I'm glad I check IDs." Another one said, "I would have carded everybody here for the record." So even bartenders whose job is to determine if someone is of age didn't do a very good job in the study, so they probably need to check IDs and do it the old-fashioned way and determine whether or not somebody should be ordering a beer or a glass of orange juice. Just a little sidelight there. Things we talk about here on Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam.
We've had that here, Adam, where shops, if they are threatened with prosecution for, you know, asking for ID, for not asking for ID, and our age is very different because isn't it 21 there for alcohol?
Yes, it's been 21 for quite a while, but I know in most countries it's 18 or 19.
Yeah, 18 here. But what will happen is that if they get sort of warned for you know, not having asked enough, then they will ask everybody, and even I get asked. So, yeah, it's probably better safe than sorry, though, isn't it?
Exactly, and that way you don't have to worry about it, don't have to determine. I mean, you go to the grocery store here, and it says if you look under 40 years old and you want to buy beer, we'll check your ID. But, I mean, they tend to check a lot of people, but if they know you, they probably don't. So it is kind of a tricky business, but you never know if a liquor agent will be the fake customer trying to catch a clerk doing something which they shouldn't be doing.
So, yeah. Well, you and I would be asked all the time, wouldn't we?
Quite possibly. quite possibly. Yeah, it does depend. And that's an interesting point, too, about the ages, because I noticed when I was in college, the drinking age was 18, and it wasn't enforced as strictly as it is now. So once it became 21 across the board, it was enforced very strictly. And before, it was kind of loose. Plus, smoking laws and 18 to buy cigarettes, that's also been enforced more strictly. Some places, it's 19 or 21 to buy cigarettes, even some areas, some Columbus area suburbs. So they're kind of cracking down on that also.
Gosh. I'm looking through funny things. I've just seen fidget spinners on my web. You asked me last week.
Yes, we talked about them. I guess one of your clients got you a free fidget spinner, but you really weren't overly impressed with it. Not a big fidget spinner person.
And my daughter's just come back from the States, and she'd been at a show where they gave her a super deluxe fidget spinner, which she gave me as a present. And I'm still not impressed. That one had bearings around the outside and in the middle, but it was... We both had a go for about 2 minutes, and we couldn't really work out what you could do other than spin it. Very odd idea.
Yeah, I don't understand the allure of these things. They're so simplistic, and I, with all the fancy video games out there, somebody gets this toy, which actually can be dangerous. There have been several injuries, in which we talked about last week, with a fidget spinner ending up in the wrong place. Not to mention that young children could put it in their mouth. So I don't really understand the point of them, and maybe I'm naive, but... here on Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam, I'm not one to shy away from an opinion or two.
Well, I've noticed.
Let's go to South Dakota, one of the least populous states here in the United States. Snake owner Jerry Kimball was positively dumbfounded to learn that he could not let a snake roam freely in a park. He was fined $190 for not having his four-month-old Fire Bee ball python on a leash, and he is not happy about it. He said it was April Fool's Day, so I thought that the officer was playing a joke. They're not fast creatures. They're not going to run away. The thing about snakes, though, is that they can still move, which is why the officer suggested that Jerry Kimball, the snake owner, put a leash on his pet. Jerry Kimball said he was literally asking me to put a rope around my snake. I was like, dude, no. I was dumbfounded. He said in a Facebook post...
How do you put a leash on a snake?
That's a very good question, because snakes don't really have a neck. They're the kind of they're like the same width. They don't have a neck like a dog or a cat does. I mean, and not to mention, even with a leash, they could still bite. I mean, and they could still constrict. So I don't really know. I don't think a snake really should be something you take to a park.
No, definitely not, no.
In a Facebook post, he said he was holding an educational meet and greet featuring his snakes through his group Sioux Falls Snake Adventures. So he wants people to learn that his snake is a nice pet and really shouldn't put him on a leash. Now, when you put a snake on a leash, you have to have a collar and a little tag like your dog saying that it's licensed. I wasn't sure about that also.
Yeah, also be at the what you might call a pointy end where the teeth are, where the tag would be. So if it did get lost with this little collar and tag on, how'd you go and find out who owns it picking the tag up?
Yeah, that would be quite dangerous. Now, we talked earlier about rats. Maybe we could have the snake meet the rat, and the rat would be his dinner. Who knows?
Yeah, they do. I did used to keep snakes when I was young, actually. I did have a vivarium. Was it a vivarium or a terrarium? No, a vivarium for snakes. My terrarium was for my terrapins. And they were fed live mice, yes.
So you previously had snakes when you were a youngster, but you didn't take your snakes to the park, right? You kept them in their enclosure.
Yeah, no, they didn't ever want to go for a walk, no. No, not quite like dogs. And they were terrible at fetching sticks.
Yeah, that would be kind of strange, having a snake fetch a stick. That wouldn't work out very well. You are tuned to Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam, a temporary and new and maybe permanent show here on The Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 FM, and broadcasting online via our website, WWGH1071.com. On the line with me is my frequent show co-host, Nick C.J. from Brecon in Eastern Wales in the United Kingdom. Nick, I think I saw this on the news that neither Prince Harry, whose real name is Henry, or Prince William wants to be king. We talked about the lineage and who would get the throne upon Queen Elizabeth II not being queen anymore. But did you see that article where neither of the princes wanted to be in charge?
Well, the article I didn't read that article. The article I read was that Charles didn't want them to be king before him, so he wasn't willing for it to jump a generation. So who knows what the truth is behind that one? But yeah, I mean, it just seems that Elizabeth seems to be going on forever. It is quite an astonishing feat.
So she's been queen, it's like 50 or 60 years, right? It's been a long time.
Yeah, over 60 years, yeah.
So she's actually been queen your entire life.
Yes, yeah.
That's quite interesting. I mean, imagine how...
Well, it is when you look...
Yeah.
When you look at how many sort of presidents you've had come and go...
You just imagine Donald Trump being president for the next 60 years, and that would certainly cause a lot of news stories.
Yeah, and what would the hair look like at the end of that period of time?
It wouldn't be pretty, would it?
No, if there was any of it left.
Speaking of presidents and former presidents, people that want to be president, and our most recent former vice president, Joe Biden, he sat in a lifeguard chair yesterday, and Twitter users decided he should keep America, he should keep America from drowning. The former vice president hopped up onto the seat at the Wilmington, Delaware swimming pool that he worked at 55 years ago, shortly after the facility was renamed in his honor. A photograph of Joe Biden in his chair at the Joseph R. Biden Jr. Aquatic Center soon went viral. Social media users joked about him running for president in 2020. Some likened the photo to a scene from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Others imagined Biden diving into action. So, our most recent former vice president taking up lifeguard duties, even in his 70s. So, pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, well, because Harry's and Prince Harry, they've all of our young royals do service. So that's sort of something that always happens. They will do military service.
Hate to see our current president in a swimsuit in a lifeguard chair. Now, could you imagine how much action that would generate on Twitter?
Well, I did send you that picture last week of the Donald on the front of a swimsuit, which is quite an astonishing and frightening vision.
Yeah, that's bad enough as far as I'm concerned. But having the Donald actually acting as a lifeguard, that wouldn't be pretty. Last hour, Nick, I talked about this Korean company that has developed a special laser for tattoo removal. Something we see here in the States a lot is people tattoo the name of a boyfriend or girlfriend on a body part. And, of course, as luck will have it, a month later they break up. And, of course, the person wants to remove the tattoo. So they're developing a special laser to remove the tattoo more easily and less expensively, which I think is...
We have seen that here already. They're already using them quite a lot here for tattoo removal. Apparently... black ink and dark blue ink is easier to remove because it sort of gets cooked back out of your skin a lot easier than the lightly coloured inks and the bright reds and things. But we have tattoo fixer programs over here, and quite a few programs about tattoos and tattoo competitions as well, where people volunteer to be the canvas for tattoo artists to just decide what they're going to have on them and start tattooing them. Seems very odd to me, but I know some people like tattoos, but not for me.
So on the line with me is Nick CJ from Eastern Wales in the United Kingdom, a frequent guest commentator and co-host of sorts on Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam. So, Nick, you would recommend to people, how long should you wait before you put your boyfriend or girlfriend's name and tattoo it on your body? Because luck will have it, a week later you're going to break up anyway, right? How long do you think you should wait before doing that?
Well, I've been married 43 years, and I'd probably give it another 10 before I get the wife's name tattooed on. So, if that gives you a clue as to how long I would wait.
So, you'd be married 53 years before Belinda would be tattooed on your person.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
See, here in the States, we're not quite as patient. I think people get tattoos with a significant other's name on their body probably in as little as 2 or 3 weeks after meeting, because you think you have love at first sight.
Yeah. I mean, I did have love at first sight, but I still wouldn't be tattooing a name on me. I think it depends how much you sort of think of your skin as yours, I suppose, and why you would need to put ink underneath it. Some people like it, some people don't. I suppose my grandfather had one that he had done in the war, and he always regretted it, so that's probably what put me off.
But for those who have indulged, good news is that if you do break up with this person, or you get a tattoo of some other design you don't like, you can hopefully in the future get it removed by a laser more easily and more cost-effectively, as removing a tattoo is much more difficult than getting a tattoo.
Oh, definitely, yes. It's much more difficult and apparently quite a lot more painful. So I think if somebody had one removed, they'd think about having it put on again. But at the program we have here, where they do tattoo fixing, they call it, they tend to put on, you know, somebody will have their boyfriend's name on, which is, you know, 2 inches long and half an inch high, and they will have like a giant candy skull tattooed over the top of it. And you think, well, I think that was a little bit over the top.
There's a new website out, Nick. I think you might want to click on it. It's called Poet in Chief. It is immortalizing President Donald Trump's tweets in verse. It uses an algorithm to generate poems from Trump's posts. Reddit user Darby Crash shared details of the site online last Sunday, and it's now going viral. I made it just for fun. I was thinking about making a site that you can put in any Twitter handle. So, new site called poetinchief.com. It does some creative things to the many interesting sayings, truisms, and statements made by our beloved president, Donald J. Trump. What do you think about that one, Nick?
I am going to be visiting the minute we get off the air. What does the J stand for?
I'm not quite sure. I think there's some people that would like to envision what it stands for. I'm not quite sure myself. I figured it was John or James or some other common. Let's go ahead and just find out. See, back when I started in radio in the 1980s, we didn't have Google. We didn't have Yahoo. We had encyclopedias, but that was about it. But we didn't really have the ability to just type something into a computer and find out useless information, or sometimes semi-useful information. But drum roll, please. It stands for John.
Ah, oh, I'd come up with some much worse ones than that. There we are.
And Donald Trump is actually 6'2". Why does he seem a little bit shorter? I'm not quite sure, but he's actually 6'2".
I'm 6'2". Well, I was 6'2". I think I'm about 6'1 now. But you get shorter as you get older.
His net worth, according to Forbes, is $3.5 billion. Imagine how long I'd have to work at this radio station to make $3.5 billion. It would be the year, probably the year 40,000 or later.
Yeah. That's a little bit like my pension plan.
Quite possibly.
I calculated my pension plan the other day, and I've worked out that I can retire when I get to 117, but only for about 15 minutes, and then it will run out.
But that's okay. If you're like me, you like working, so I'm not quite ready to retire yet. So.
No, I will be working until the day I drop, so... I think we do now. It's the way of the world, isn't it? It is very different.
It would seem to be. They're just working for a longer period of time, which I think is good. And by doing that, I mean, I think you stay young by working. I think it helps me stay youthful, not just going to the gym or just watching what you eat, but working and feeling productive and contributing to something every day. That's important as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I've got a lot of friends who are in that quotation marks older age bracket, and some of them up in 70s, 80s, and they're still doing something every day rather than, you know, doing nothing then, you know. And a lot of people I've known in the past when I was younger did that thing of working to 65 and then retire. I remember one of my old managers doing it, and, you know, a year after they retire, they were gone because... they basically gave up, and I think a lot of work can keep you younger.
You mean our local radio legend Charlie Evers, who's on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. He's 82 years old. I mean, he's a very young 82. But again, he's worked in radio for a long time, and you know, there's no reason to stop. He still sounds great.
Is he the young man who sang your theme song?
No, that's actually Paul Savage, the host of a show on Sunday at 5 o'clock called Heaven Express, along with his wife, Glenna. He is, I believe, in his late 60s, which is older than me, but not much. But Charlie, who's on after me on Thursday, is a very spry 82 years old.
So amazing.
Nick and I definitely would agree that there is no real set point for retiring, and if you feel young, you still feel active, and you still like working, there's no reason to stop doing it.
Most definitely.
You are listening to Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam, a new and temporary show here on The Talking Place, WWGH. On the line with me is my brother in broadcasting of sorts, Mr. Nick C.J. from Brecon in Eastern Wales, talking about miscellaneous political, interesting and not so interesting topics. Going to close out the show. Nick, thanks again for joining me. We'll probably talk to you in the future, as well as share some of your interesting anecdotes and tidbits. I got to go home and get to work on this slideshow project and gallery that we were talking about earlier for one of your clients, as it is quite a major undertaking. Coming up next, news and features at top of the hour, and then it's Linda Sims. Have a great rest of your Tuesday, everybody.